And we're going to be unpacking that very shortly. I'd hope to have a continue developing our thinking around what an effective model of resistance, a holistic self-defense practice, what needs to happen in that practice, which I am hoping to actually start doing. There's a lot going on right now. I mean, house is a disaster, and counting on my son there because I'm useless. But I've decided to hold that discussion over till next week to make sure we have adequate time for Alice. Turning to Alice, our Alice Miller readings, continuing the section Unlived Anger. What is key in what Alice is helping us to see, and this is my commentary initial, speaking broadly, is that in the absence of our understanding, i.e. conscious incorporation with the use of the right story of our early childhood experience of abuse, we legitimate, perpetuate the notion of the state, i.e. we keep ourselves small. Power uses us against ourselves, its favorite thing to do, compulsively repeating its trauma from childhood. Recall, we learned with Alice and our discussions of her that the key trauma for those raised by power, the Plato's tribes, the children of Plato's tribe, is that their love for their parents was used against them. And we saw this clearly in quotes from the poisonous pedagogues, including Jean-Jacques Rousseau, who made it clear that they viewed their own children as objects for manipulation, that they could make these children, these babies, anything they wanted them to be. That sounds demonic. A word I would use before Alice. We owe her a lot, I do. Their favorite thing to do, using us against us, as their parents used their love for their parents against them. In Alice's terms, but in Bentham's, we are made to self-regulate. This euphemism for you. Or in Marcuse's, we introject the state. But what is unique in Alice's explanation is her guidance for how to get free of it. Free of this pattern designed to continuously reproduce our smallness. And this is what we have to be clear on, and hopefully help the children of Plato's tribe get clear on. Far from being made great, they are being made small in the destruction of their authentic self, authentic feelings, their empathy. Alice Miller helps us understand in what ways we unconsciously manifest the state, the abusive behavior we pass on to our children. She helps us see where this behavior comes from, the omnipresence of coercion in a class system, that our lives are not our own. And beyond this, she helps us see that coercion is the defining characteristic of class society, the common denominator of all class trauma, and therefore addressing it forced effectively in our practice will hopefully serve us as a group inoculation against the virus of class, exorcising the state in us, and as a consequence, illuminate our global path to achieving our freedom in allowing us to embrace all of our brothers and sisters. Illuminating the truth, therefore, that as we said in our March 13, 2016 show, global empathy, spiritually and geographically, frees us. Continuing with Alice. She has just asked, why is there still support for the corporal punishment of children? Her four-point reply, the final two we're reading again now, could be viewed as sightings of hidden power, places where, when viewed with the light of truth, power is outed. Continuing, and this is point three, since tormenting one's children is a legitimate part of child rearing. This provides the most obvious outlet for bottled up aggression. And my comment, with the right story, our anger at being forced is transformed into good energy from bad, good energy that sends us down fruitful paths. Continuing, point four, because an aggressive response to emotional and physical abuse is forbidden by parents in almost all religions, this outlet, aggression toward children, is the only one available. And my comment, only one available to we global commoners. However, the 0.0001% have other means. They've converted the entire planet into a vast field of possibilities for the releasing of their bottled up hate. Continuing with Alice. I don't know how people in other cultures who have not grown up, as we have with the biblical fourth commandment, have solved this problem. But wherever I look, I see signs of the commandment to honor one's parents, and nowhere of a commandment that calls for respect for the child. And I comment, locating, as it should be, authentically, the root of the problem within the system of class, within thousands of years of ranking and submission to authority, within thousands of years of the practice of child abandonment and coerced work, moves us past this question to the contemplation of the global nature of the problem, and necessarily as well to its solution. And continuing, it would be a sign of great progress if this taboo against allowing children to express their legitimate aggressive feelings toward their parents were done away with. If the mechanism becomes conscious, if people are allowed to become aware of what their parents did to them, they would surely try to direct their response to the preceding generation and not the following one. This would mean, for example, that Hitler would not have needed to kill millions of human beings if it had been possible for him as a child to rebel directly against his father's cruelty. Let me repeat that. If Hitler had been able to express his anger at being abused directly towards his father, he would not have needed to kill millions of human beings.